Welcome and thank you for joining us for today's Dealer On webinar, How to Crack the Millennial Code and Sell More Cars. My name is Eliana Raggio and I'll be your moderator today. Today's webinar is being presented by Dealer On. And for anyone who isn't familiar with Dealer On, well, we're an award-winning website development company and digital agency best known for our amazing SEO, the best customer service, and the highest converting website designs in the industry, including the award-winning Chameleon responsive website platform. We're so committed to lead conversion, optimization, and customer service, Dealer On is still the only company in the industry that offers a money-back lead guarantee program. Does your website company guarantee you a 50% lift in leads or your money back? Maybe you should check us out at our gorgeous brand new Dealer On website at DealerOn.com. By the way, I want to let you all know I am going to be emceeing the upcoming Women in Automotive Conference, and I'm so honored. This unique event is June 26th through the 28th in Orlando, Florida, and it's going to be focused on aiding and empowering the women in our industry to improve their skills and advance their careers and find the highest level of success in our male-dominated industry. So if you want to make your way to Orlando in a couple weeks, well, I'd love to see you. To find out more about the Women in Automotive Conference, please visit womeninautomotive.com or you can check out hashtag WomenInAuto16. I hope to see you there. Corey, there we go. And we have a great show in store for you today. We're very pleased to have Corey Mosley as our presenter today. Corey Mosley, CSP, is a founder and principal of Mosley Automotive, a nationally recognized automotive sales strategy and training company that focuses on progressive sales and marketing strategies to increase customer satisfaction and retention and accelerate sales and fuel profitability. He's built a strong reputation as a go-to sales strategist, consultant, and trainer whose techniques and progressive strategies have helped countless dealers build and restructure profitable sales, BDC, and internet operations. Corey developed this approach during a sales and consulting career that now spans more than 18 years. Corey's been a featured speaker and educator at every major automotive conference and has a client list that includes dealer groups and OEMs. Corey is also the author of The Way I See It, Thoughts, Commentary, and Musings of a Retail Car Guy, which is currently available on Amazon.com, and he's also the creator of Mosley 24/7, an on-demand training, testing, and certification system for dealerships. He can be reached at cm@coreymosley.com. And I got to share some huge news with all of you. Corey Mosley's new weekly show on the CBT Automotive Network. It's going to premiere online tomorrow, June 10th. The show is called Progressive Retail with Corey Mosley. You're not going to want to miss it. You can catch all the awesomeness on cbtnews.com/CBT show. There you go. Now, during the presentation, if you have any questions, please use the question feature located on the corner of your screen to submit them. At the end of the presentation, we'll answer those questions of general interest. If we're unable to get to your question live, we'll try to respond by email later today. And don't forget, a link to download a copy of this webinar recording will also be emailed to you later today for your reference. Please feel free to share it with your friends and colleagues. Oh, and guess what? Our good friends at Mosley Automotive, they're going to be giving away some awesome prizes today on the webinar. Two of you lucky webinar attendees are going to win a Mosley Automotive prize pack. It includes a cool coffee mug, a styling t-shirt, and a copy of Corey Mosley's latest book, The Way I See It. This sweet, sweet prize could be yours. You have to be on the live broadcast to win it, though. So stay tuned, and you could be the one winning this amazing prize today. Also, at the conclusion of this webinar, you're going to get a short survey. So please fill it out because we're always looking for great feedback from our audience and we want your opinion to be heard. And hey, do you tweet much? We hope you do. We'd love to see what you have to say about today's presentation. So tag us in it. You can use hashtag DealerOnWebby. I'm at Eliana Raggio. You can also hit up Corey Mosley at, you guessed it, Corey Mosley. We look forward to seeing what you're saying. So let's get started. Let's learn how to crack the millennial code and sell more cars. Mr. Mosley, I love having you on my show. Thank you so much for coming back.
Woo, that is a lot of energy you're going to have to get past that opening there. So, I took a sip of water for you.
I am so excited that you're here. And this is a topic we have never discussed before. And we know that not just car dealers, but like other verticals in the you know, all over the world have a difficult time selling to the millennials. Maybe it's because, right. I'm sure you're going to tell us why, but maybe it's because of all this technology that they're surrounded with. You know, I never grew up with a cell phone, you know, but my kid is 8 years old and he's asking me for a cell phone. You have got to be kidding me. If somebody could tell me the right age to give a kid a cell phone, I'd love to know, but I'm sure it is not 8 years old. But I digress.
Well, I had one at 14 and I really thought I was all that. And back then you were, but I'm talking about the Nokia brick with the long antenna, and you know there was no iPhone back then. Although I'm in my 30s, so I think the issue from a millennial standpoint is, you know, of course there's so much information out there. It's, you know, what do we do? What's the real information? What's kind of the stuff that's out there? Are they lazy? Are they not lazy? It's a lot of that kind of stuff, and I think that's where it kind of gets confusing. You know, some of the undeniable stuff ultimately is going to be the data as far as purchasing power, as far as some of the things we're going to get into today that really is just going to be the truth. So it's kind of like, hey, you know somebody that's lazy. Well, I know somebody that's lazy too. They're not all millennials. I know lazy older people. I know lazy people in their 50s, lazy people in their 40s. So it's not that one dynamic that you can kind of put on them, but there are trends associated with them. So from my perspective, one of the ways I've always approached this, I've been discussing this for a number of years at NADA and dealer associations and with dealers, and you know my perspective is a little different only because I'm still in that age bracket. So I'm still in that age bracket, and I came into the business literally driving a demo to my high school graduation. So I drove a Subaru Legacy demo when I worked for the Subaru dealer, starting in the business as a teenager. So I was 17, 18 in the business and graduated working in the car business. So
wow.
I am that person to a certain extent.
You know, it's so funny because I read your bio and it said 18 years and I didn't even do the math.
Yes. So that's always my perspective. You know, I hear other people obviously discuss the topic and people have been talking about it. But, you know, it's very unique to me just because I'm from that era in the business and in that kind of age bracket, which I think is just slightly a little different perspective if you're 50 and you're, you know, the de facto educator of millennials. I don't want any hate email, but I just think it's a little different. So what I want to cover today, and it's always fun to be on with you. It's always fun to be on Dealer On stuff and do stuff with Dealer On and Eliana, always fun to work with you, and especially when you keep me on task. And I appreciate everybody that's logged in. I mean, we know how these things are. There's webinars, there's trainings, there's, you know, trying to sell cars in the dealership. So I appreciate everybody that is taking the time to come on live for spending a few minutes with me. And, you know, my goal is always to deliver as much value as I possibly can in the time that we have. So I just want to say thank you. Here's what we're going to cover. So I'm going to talk about some things that you may know at the high level. I want to try to drill down a little bit when we talk about things like who they are. I mean, most of us have our opinions, or we know there's some subjective nature to what the demo is or what it isn't. But as a general rule, we know kind of who they are. I want to go a step further and get into, you know, why they matter, what brands they're interested in, what are the financial components to really working with them, because that information has changed over the last few years. How do you get your share in the marketplace? And as Eliana said, we've got some cool stuff on the giveaway side of things. So what I want to jump into is a little pop quiz. We're gonna test some of your knowledge here as we get started. So we've got a couple things. Eliana's going to launch some polls real quick. So the first thing I want to poll on is we're just going to see how well you know the Gen Y. So first question is, email is the preferred form of digital communication for Gen Y. Let's do a little poll. Let's give them a minute, Eliana, to tell us if that is true or false.
That's right. We are going to do all five poll questions are right here in the front, and it's kind of a test. We want to know how much you already know about the millennials that you are already selling cars to. So is email, in your opinion, the preferred form of digital communication for Gen Y? Is it true or false? And we already have a majority of the votes in. A couple more votes are going to be coming in now. And, Corey, do you just want me to run through these as fast as possible?
Okay, we got the votes on that one?
Yeah, we do. Do you want to see the answers, or you want to put all the answers up afterwards?
No, I want to see the answers.
Let's
so I can
do
tell
it,
them.
Dude. All right. Oh. All right, audience. 81% of today's audience believe it is false. 19% believe it's true.
All right, so the answer to that question is false. Actually, we've obviously got some smart people on the line here. And ultimately, of course, as you would guess, because the next question is, well, then what is? And, of course, most of you will connect to the idea that it's instant messaging or text messaging. So they actually did a study on the incoming freshman class at University of California, Berkeley, and they determined that 86% of them don't even use email at all. So that was like a crazy statistic in terms of how you're in terms of communicating with each other, not getting your assignments or that type of thing. So
right.
It was pretty interesting. So next question up.
Next
Gen Y. Oh, go ahead. Are you doing it?
Yeah, well, I don't care. Next question is up and on your screen. Come on, audience. Let's get those answers in. We want to know, true or false, Gen Y workers will have had 9 to 10 jobs by the time they reach age 38. True or false? Once we get a majority of votes in, we're going to close close the poll and share the results and then move on to poll question number 3. All right. Votes are coming in. Ooh, still more votes. I love it when my audience gets involved. You guys are doing great today. All right, Corey, you ready to see the answer on this one?
Yep.
All right, let's see it. Okay. Gen Y workers will have 9 to 10 jobs by the age 38. 91% of today's audience believe that statement to be true. 9% believe it's false. Corey, do you have an answer for us, sir?
I do. The answer is actually, it's a quasi-trick question, but the answer is false. So the real answer is, it's actually higher. It's 12 to 13 jobs. So all the people who put true were doing that because they thought of it being a high number. So in reality, they were kind of right. But it was 12 to 13.
Wow, 12 to 13 is even higher than I expected. Okay. All right. Third poll question is on the screen now. We want to know, true or false? 18 to 25-year-olds are more likely than any adult group to think that technology makes people lazy. Do you believe that to be true or false? Wow. People definitely have some preconceived notions about millennials, as I can tell by the votes coming in from our third poll question. Audience, you guys are doing great. Thank you so much. Sharpie wants to know if you're throwing out another trick question at them.
What's your knee-jerk answer?
What's your knee-jerk answer, Sharpie? Okay, so almost everyone has voted. So let's close this poll and share the results. No. Okay, 9% of today's audience believe that to be true. But the majority, 91% of today's audience, believe that statement is false. So which is it?
It's true.
It's what?
It's true.
No.
It's true.
18 to 25-year-olds are more likely than any adult group to think that technology makes people lazy. Seriously?
Listen, according to Harris Interactive, Pew Research, and Internet Business, that's their collective study. So I think people get a misconception that just because they're heavy users of technology, obviously they were born into it, most of us get that, doesn't mean that they don't realize that, you know, having a calculator is certainly hurts your learning retention, or being able to use that for everything or Google everything certainly does cut down on your ability to store things in your mind. So it was interesting, but nonetheless, it's true according to our data sources. So.
Wow. Okay. Well, a lot of us got that one wrong. Let's try our hand at question number 4. True or false? A new blog is created nearly every second of the day. Please select one, true or false. Once we get a majority of the votes in, we're going to close the poll and share the results. Ah, this one's not so easy as the other questions have been. We'll see. Oh, okay, more votes are still coming in. I got to tell you, a new blog is created nearly every second of the day. That seems a little high. If I were to guess, I think I might go false. But I don't know. I don't know the answers to these questions, audience, so I'm going to find out just like you will. I'll tell you what, we're going to wait a couple more seconds, and then we'll close this poll, and we'll share the results, and then we'll get to the last poll question. All right? All right, are you ready, Corey?
Yep.
All right. This one's not in the 90s. 88% of today's audience believe it to be true. 12% believe it to be false. Is a new blog created every second of the day, Corey?
It's actually false. It's actually two.
What? Two what?
two new blogs are created every second of the day.
No.
The data says.
Oh my God.
All right, let's do the last one. I got a ton of content to get through.
Oh my gosh, I had no idea. Okay, last poll questions on the screen. I'm failing this test miserably, audience. I hope you're not. Okay, the number of text messages sent and received each day exceeds the population of Earth. True or false? I'm going to go with true on this one. I'm going to get this one right.
If it kills you.
I got three of those wrong so far, so. All right, audience. Quick, hurry up, vote quicker. All right, Corey, if you're ready, we're going to close this poll and share the results.
Let's do it.
All right, 92% of today's audience believe this statement to be true. Only 8% believe it's false. Is it true or false?
Gold star for 92%. That is true.
It is true. Wow, that's a lot. All right, back to you. I'm back to your slide deck now.
Absolutely. And I want to make sure, Eliana, I know we didn't mention it, and I guess they get it in advance, but you've got two handouts, so you've got a great PDF version that's drilled down to kind of an ebook format that I please encourage everybody to download. And then there's another handout takeaway that you can use that we'll talk a little bit about at the end. So let's get some facts out of the way, and then you know I'm going to give you a little data and then talk a little bit about some action planning, some things that you could be doing. You know, if you have teenagers, if you have millennials, you know, we're talking about millennials, which translates generally to this Gen Y piece, but right now we're also starting to collect the data on Gen Z, which are the teens and tweens right now. Those are the groups that are really dominating Snapchat in those areas. We've seen data where over 63% of population between 13 and 16 are active on Snapchat now. So just another source for you to start to get out there on. But lost in translation, I don't have any idea what a lot of these people are texting nowadays. I'm literally Googling myself at the age of 36. I'm Googling to figure out what some of these shortcuts mean. Outside of the ones we all know, right? We all know LOL. We all know OMG. But this is like a conversation that some millennials might potentially have in the translation to it. So if you knew what this stuff was, gold star for you before it got translated. Like, I'm not even going to read it out, but just it's just really interesting to see that that's the conversation that they just had there that I've got on the screen. So we can all agree that even the communication, I mean, that could be another language. I didn't know if that was Dothraki or something from Game of Thrones and they were talking in, but this becomes a communication method here. So I want to talk about who they are, because we agree that communications are different. Things are just different. It just is. And the origin of that can be described in a multitude of ways. The everybody gets a trophy generation. However you want to look at it, it just is. Things are just different. When we talk about the number of jobs, when we talk about the attitude, you know, my grandmother, she worked at the same building, same location, same company for 42 years, retired, got her pension, got a gold watch, and went on her way and loved every minute of it. That's just not the reality that we are, of course, in anymore. So who they are, let's do some stats on this. And again, there's a skew here of a couple of years depending on who you ask. So 78 to 2000, and anything beyond that is the cusp of Gen X, and there's some argument there over a few years. But this is the generally accepted range, give or take a few years. There's close to 84 million, which, so you can imagine the impact there, also known as millennials, tweens, teens, 20-somethings, considered tastemakers. So they're setting the market. They're literally setting the market on the decisions that we're making, what's good, what's bad. All the marketplace corporations are going to them. Manufacturers are going to them for design. They're going to the design schools and getting their feedback on product. A lot of the think labs, of course, are geared to them. I mean, people are literally scouting in schools. I watched a video the other day where literally just driving by to see what kids are doing. It may sound a little creepy, but they say it's for data. But literally, you know, what are they doing? What are they doing on their phones? How are they communicating? Just that real-time pulse, because they want to determine what the next steps are. Many of you on this call, if you're not in the millennial category, if you're in your 40s or 50s or 60s or even older, you ask yourself, how many times have you asked your grandson, granddaughter, your child, you know, an opinion on what you should wear, or should you buy this watch, or, you know, these different factors that, again, are influence-driven. You know, how do I look in this? Do I look cool? You know, these are these kind of questions that we've asked. So they're considered tastemakers. For them, they want to be sold, want to be seen, known, and respected. Even if they haven't earned that respect yet, for them it's just inherent. So that's what they're ultimately looking for. So we know a couple things. We know more than 26% of American adults are Gen Y members. And here's what's important for your stores. So I know we have a wide-ranging group of people that are on the call today, but here's what's important from a training level, from the frontline level, for the people working with customers who are coming in the store, your showroom salespeople, internet, BDCs, people engaging with the customers in a new sale environment. Currently, they're influencing half of the auto purchases within a household. That's really significant. And how I translate that, because when we work with salespeople all over the country, how I translate that is this idea that we typically were trained to focus on the buyer. We were typically trained to engage our customers in who's the person making the financial decision, who's the person that can, you know, sign the paperwork, and who's the driver, who's the buyer. And we would put all of our attention to them. That was kind of traditional, quote-unquote, old-school training, focus on the buyer. Well, in an environment here where your deal could be killed, I mean, they'll kill a deal. That millennial in a household can kill your deal faster than any price, payment, color, or anything else if they're not involved, if they're not in on the transaction. So I implore everybody that has any level of influence to what's happening at the retail level to make sure that the sales representatives and the people in the front line understand that if there's a millennial showing up in that deal with their parents or their grandparents or just in the showroom or in the engagement process, that you got to make sure you're catering to them. And what's scary to me is I'm still seeing, you know, training on women in the workplace, women in the environment, and how to sell, you know, women approved, and these different types of things, where it's 2016. I mean, we've got to get over it and get on with it. So I just want to make sure everybody is paying attention to that. Very diverse demo, less than two-thirds white, over 25% raised in a single-parent household. So, you know, all these things are different drivers that are contributing to what's happening, you know, in the marketplace. So here's why they matter. So they matter for a couple reasons. I mean, size we talked about, but they are trendsetters. They've overtaken boomers in numbers because the baby boomers used to be, obviously, they used to run the show. So they've overtaken boomers in numbers and will overtake boomers in income next year. So they will have more income availability in the marketplace than the boomer generation, which was the big money generation by 2017. So we're really right here. And the confidence that they have going in, again, whether earned or not, that confidence demands that retailers are bowing to their needs and really catering to them. The other interesting thing, and I think this is helpful for us, anytime we think about recession, anytime we think about a slowdown in sales, I like the fact that they reduce their spending during challenging times less than any other generation. And that's very helpful when people, you know, if you go back a few years, the years that, you know, a lot of us didn't want to talk about, some of the tougher years for us in automotive retail, where people were holding on to their cars much, much longer, holding out on repairs, holding out on replacing and trading their vehicles. So all the trade-in, trade-up kind of marketing that we were doing really wasn't effective back then. You've got a group of people who will still continue to spend. And, you know, the way I say this is they ain't giving up that $5 macchiato for anybody, right? So that's good news that they'll reduce their spending. Huge numbers. A spending that exceeds $200 billion and it will top $10 trillion in their lifetime. Those are significant dollars in the marketplace and significant dollars available for transportation. Now, you're hearing all kinds of data. You're hearing all kinds of reports about ride sharing. And these are real things where, you know, you read one report, they tell you they're buying cars. You read another report, they tell you they're not buying cars. So we want to focus on the hardcore data that we know. But, you know, ride sharing is real. The Ubers of the world, the millennials that are living in towns that are easy to commute to, yes, they may not be as quick to go make vehicle purchases. And you need to be aware of that. But, again, statistically, you know, it's kind of like if you're a dealer in New York City, I mean, you have a group of customers who are buying. You have a group of customers who take the subway or public transportation. So But it is something to be mindful of, the impact of ride sharing over the next few years and things of that nature. But they will spend, they will buy. So their confidence and their ability to connect with others have also created unprecedented influence. Because they are dialed in, they are talking to each other, the whole ZMOT strategy, if you're familiar with, as it relates to how people come into the market, how they ask their network for advice, how, you know, something can go viral. All of that is a complete driver in their ability to connect and communicate. You know, recently Michigan State University and Deloitte did a automotive sustainability study, and they saw, and they found something that I thought was very interesting, that a Gen Y consumer will pay an average of $1,500 more for a $20,000 vehicle because it's a hybrid, but would pay $8,000 more for a vehicle that gets an extra 15 miles per gallon regardless of its hybrid badging. So what was kind of interesting to me there is that we associate, you know, going green with millennials. We associate these different factors that assume that they're just tied into that cause, but really there's a lot of economic motivation tied behind it as it relates to, you know, gas mileage, fuel efficiency, and these type of things. So your strategy in your store might have been, oh, okay, great, let's focus on green, let's focus on our plug-ins, let's focus on our Nissan Leaf, let's focus on our Priuses, that type of thing, as a pathway to, you know, attract more millennials. But again, like I said, just from this study, you know, gas mileage, different things like that that create efficiency are stronger than, you know, if it's potentially green or not. So just something to consider. The most recent breakthrough that I want to share with you is the leasing aspects. So the trend is ultimately now where they're upgrading cars like they're upgrading iPhones. 28.9% in the study that we looked at with Edmunds.com and Morepace Inc. looked at 28.9% of all the new car purchases of millennials ages 18 to 34 in 2015 were leased. So that's outpacing the actual statistics for total leasing. 46% jump in leasing by millennials over the last 5 years. So that's significant. So they are leasing vehicles. And what that means also is that that's helpful to us, of course, because we want that turn. We want to extend our lease portfolios and our lease retention activity. It's tough when you're selling to a 42-month trade cycle. So you want to have that opportunity to know, I want that predictability to 36 months, 39 months, even 24 months now, a lot of aggressive leasing programs available, that you have these options where they are leasing the vehicles. It's not the adage, you know, hey, you've got to own something. You know, many of you deal with that every day with customers who, you know, oh, I don't want to consider leasing because I was always taught to own it. I want the title. I want all these different things. So why somebody would go into a, you know, 60-month or 72-month or 84-month or even longer now, we've got some banks out there that are really stretching the term, why you would go into a 6 or 7 year payment just to have ownership when you could obviously lease, I don't quite understand. But the good news is that they're starting to control the marketplace. They've got a lot of disposable income. They've got more purchasing power than boomers, and they like to lease vehicles, and that trend is going up. So that's something definitely for everybody to get excited about. Some of the other things that we know from a financial component, continuing from the same information, is that 57% of respondents to the survey on down payment and payment said basically they're willing to put no more than $3,000 down. So $29.99 down sounds like a commercial. They'll put $3,000 down on a new car purchase. 54.9% said that they were willing to pay no more than $2.99 a month. So shoppers who finance their purchase, of course, if you do some basic math on that, that basically keeps them in the realm under those kind of parameters of basically a vehicle price under $20,000. But because of the leasing percentages and the opportunities created by that, you're really taking an upswing, depending on your lease parameters, of, you know, $35,000 on a vehicle. So that puts you in a lot of different categories, as we're finding vehicles like Acura are doing very, very well with millennials right now. And that becomes the impact as that leasing continues to grow. They're not restricted to some of the entry-level models, a Chevy Cruze or you know, a base Nissan or, you know, a Corolla or some of these things, by pushing the leasing kind of methodology in the envelope and understanding that they are being more open to that. So when it comes to brands, too, you know, what are the brands that they're interested in? Because there's been a little bit of a shift over that, too. So I think it's important, if you sell any of these brands, to get really, really excited. And if you don't, that doesn't mean, you know, there's no place for your ability to leverage them. But Interestingly enough, there's been a lot of interest in RAM. Now, this is specific to leasing. So brands that the studies are finding Gen Ys are more likely to lease. RAM brands, which, of course, you know, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, but RAM in particular, GMC. Interesting here, Lexus, Jaguar, Cadillac. Buick's on the list. I guess the commercials are working. So Buick's on the list. Subaru, Mini, Acura, and Scion. So some familiar names that you expect would be on there, like Subaru, Scion for the time being, Acura. But the luxury model, and this is something really to get excited if you have luxury in your brand. Because most of the time we think about the financial capacity or the economic motivation here. But, you know, this is also why if you're in the luxury game, if you have a luxury manufacturer in your group, that your luxury manufacturers, potentially to the dissatisfaction of some of the more higher-end customers, are going down market. So that's why you can get in for $29,000 or base at $30,000 in some of these vehicles. So they're introducing those type of models, you know, the IS, the CLA with Mercedes, even the XC with Jaguar. So they're creating that opportunity to try to grab them, and this is something that, you know, Acura has done very, very well with for a number of years, despite, you know, some of their growth challenges in other areas. So it's definitely something to get excited about. And if you have a Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram dealership, hey, it may be something to sort of think about that strategy as you try to attract that group into the marketplace. Now, what are they responding to when we think about them as respondents? So what are they looking for? Well, they're looking for authenticity. And this is very, very challenging, I believe, in our market. And why I say that's challenging in our market is because we don't typically train based on the concept of authenticity. What do I mean by that? I mean that for a lot of us who've come into the marketplace and have been in this business for any number of years, we came in under this idea that we had to be good actors, right? I remember conducting a training for a large dealer group in Texas. There's probably about 65 guys in the room, guys and ladies in the room. And we went through the training, and a guy came up to me afterwards, and he handed me a CD. And he said, you know, he was one of the kind of group trainers. It was a large organization. I think they are up to probably about 60 stores now. And he was one of kind of their local regional trainers. And he came up and, you know, had some nice things to say, some good feedback, thankfully. But he handed me a CD. And he said, yeah, you know, I do some training here, and you know, here's my CD. I'd like you to check it out. And I looked at the CD, and on the cover of it was a picture of him with a cowboy hat. I said I was in Texas. So with a cowboy hat and some tumbleweed, like, kind of sticking out of his mouth. And the title of the CD was, All Salespeople Are Is Just Great Actors. So as you kind of think about that, that creates a challenge. So, you know, what they respond to, number one on my list here is authenticity, and you could be operating from the perspective that, you know, we just have to be whoever they want to be. When I'm live with audiences, you know, I kind of play an exaggerated, you know, play, which is, you know, hey, what are you into? And I'll ask somebody, and, you know, they'll tell me, it's, oh, you know, I like to fish. And I say, oh, man, I love to fish too. You know, where do you go fish? What's your favorite fish to get? And I go through this exercise about three or four times, and people start to look at me, and they start to get it, and they start to realize how inauthentic it is to be, or how easy it is to be inauthentic but pretend you're being authentic. So when you kind of dumb it down to the ridiculous, or you kind of come from that perspective where you're heightening the level of kind of potential silliness, you really start to see that some of the chameleon aspects of it really won't survive as we go into the next 10 years of the car business. So it becomes so, so important as you start to think about how both your dealership, how you as someone executing and engaging customers, or if you're in a position of leadership on this call, how you can, on the webinar, how you can start to create that authentic process inside your dealerships. They want relationship, which is very challenging. I do a whole training segment that we'll talk about a little bit later. I do a whole training segment on, you know, personality types, and, you know, relationship seekers, one of those core four personality types. But that's only one core. So now you've got a group of people who really are relationship driven. Here's a challenge. What if you're not? What if your dealership's not? What if your sales team is not? These are going to be the areas. My philosophy for the past 12 years consulting in this business has been our goals should generally be creating incremental and sustainable sales growth. So I don't want the 10th sale. I don't want the 20-car spike and then we go off a cliff. Great, I did 22 cars last month and the next month I did 12. I'm riding a roller coaster. I need to find out how I can create incremental growth and then sustain that growth moving forward. So when you look at something like millennials coming to the marketplace, significant buying power, overtaking boomers, 40% of the buying segment, 50% of the influence segment, and I say they want relationship, that's a complete paradigm shift for a lot of people potentially working in a dealership. That means, hey, if your approach has been what I call a horsepower approach, if your approach has been press hard 5 copies in your approach to engaging customers, you're going to have a tough time with this group. It's just plain and simple. You know, if I could you, what would it take during your business? Any other reason besides price you wouldn't buy and drive this car today? Some of the lines that we've used for a long time, you're going to have a tough time with this group and really getting more than your fair share of getting a competitive advantage because they want to connect with relationship. They've got some things to say. They've got some things about the whys, you know, the why they want to use the vehicle, the what they're going to do with it, the what's brought them there, what is their journey. All these things are important to them, and they're communicating based on a lot of these factors. Next, cost-effective. Oh, I'm sorry, generally raised to be skeptical of business. So I want you to think about that for a second. And, you know, I don't want to paint a dim picture here because this is a lot of opportunity. But when you start to look at authenticity, they want relationship, raised to be skeptical of business, is there any more segment that's more skeptical than the segment of automotive vehicle sales from the customer's point of view? Every week we've got some expose, every week 2020, or somebody's got, you know, covering, they found the one bad dealer or the small percentage of dealers that, you know, are doing some things that, you know, really aren't great, really aren't good practices, but they found a way, and of course, nobody reports the good news. I've never looked at the 11 o'clock news where they've said, you know, today we've got a half an hour of great news about good things that have happened. It's usually, you know, somebody who's shot, who's robbed, or what have you. So that expose piece, that piece where they're already skeptical about business and business people and just the idea of it, I'm not talking about the guys with the $50 billion valuation, so the Uber guys and Zuckerberg and these guys, but just the general business environment. So by the time you get to automotive and the car buying process, you've got skeptics. You know, we deal with the general standards of human decency, and then we come in a little below that, and then we try to gain credibility every time we open our mouths, every time we send an email, every time we engage a customer face-to-face. We're trying to win the credibility war. So they're already skeptical. So authenticity, relationship, fighting the skepticism, and the way to fight the skepticism, of course, is not to engage in practices, and we'll talk a little bit about those shortly, but engage in practices that drive that skepticism or drive them away from the dealership or your dealership's environment. So, you know, we can't promise quick, easy, and convenient. I know we've got a lot of BDC managers, some internet managers on the call. Can't pitch quick, easy, and convenient on the phone, and then when they arrive at the dealership, F&I's backed up for 3 hours, and we're trying to give them vouchers at Applebee's while, you know, we get the car to prep or it's not PDI'd or whatever's happening. So they're going to eat you alive, and everybody knows about reviews. Everybody's getting hammered about reputation management and things they need to be doing with that. So this, it's all one big ecosphere that will play itself out. Cost-effective marketing options. So, again, text messaging and other elements. I'm going to give you some specifics coming up just in a little bit. But, you know, where can you be cost-effective? Where can you reach them? Because, obviously, all the data is telling us, you know, they're not glued to the TV. You know, we've all got our Netflix and chill is now a thing. That's now a hashtag that you do, and, of course, there's no commercials there. So as people are consuming their content, they're not exposed to your typical medians. Even, you know, even your Hulu, you know, I pay the extra $3 now so I don't have to see a commercial at all for our Hulu account. So those traditional marketing options where you might be reaching your customers, that might still be more effective for the broad range of your group, your radio, your TV, these type of things. Again, now it's how can we communicate in different ways to have a different desired effect with this group. And what we're finding is that brands that invest in relationships through empathy, deep understanding, and insight will win. And there's so much of this information on this slide that you're looking at that's counterintuitive to how we react. And that's what I want to start that process for you. I want to start that process and say, you know, what's our brand? What's our brand message in a store? Is our behavior based on authenticity? Are we coming from that approach? Are we just trying to be actors? Or is our team just saying anything that they need to say to get somebody in the dealership or to sell a car? Are we relationship-driven dealers as a dealership? Is that our mission at all or not? Are we doing things to increase skepticism about our business or make people more comfortable? Are we utilizing Kofta? Are we communicating in ways in locations where they are, where millennials are, where our customers are, that is maximizing our return on investment? And what are the things that we're doing right now in our dealership and for the future of our dealership that reflect an investment in relationship, that reflect an interest in our customers and wanting to learn more about them and find better ways to leverage them? And not to get too off topic here, but you know, one of the effective things I find it's very interesting when I sit in and work with dealers all over the country. I also work with manufacturers. What I find interesting from the dealership environment is we'll sit around in a meeting and have conversations about what a marketing strategy should be, or you know, what our approach should be, or what type of amenities we might want to have at the dealership. And most dealers never ask their customers, which I thought was pretty interesting. They never get that level of feedback to, you know, hey, we're thinking about doing this. Is this something that even interests you? We're thinking about doing this in our service department. We're thinking about doing, you know, what should a giveaway be? Well, what's important to the dealer? I mean, what's important to your customer? You know, what are they responding to? Do they like vacations or do they like iPads? You know, we had a dealer that everything was an iPad giveaway or was an iWatch giveaway, but that didn't necessarily connect to his market. And, you know, we did some additional research and we were able to learn that, you know, what really people wanted going into the summer is, you know, people wanted little staycations or giveaways with their, or getaways with their family. And, you know, I think we ended up using something with like Great Wolf Lodge was in the area. So we used them as leverage and, it was just a more highly responded to, connection with the community. So there's some different things I want you to think about there. Now, when we talk about some factors from a marketing perspective, what are some four key, you know, factors from a marketing standpoint? One, badge brands, not the biggest brands. So what I mean by that, if you look at some of the brands that everybody talks about now, there's story behind them. And for some of you listening here today, obviously, you don't control the marketing in your store. You may not control the story. But you can hopefully take back some information that starts a conversation. And hey, I just got off this webinar, and you know, this guy, he sounded like he knew what he was talking about, and there was some information here, but this is the market that's telling us that. So this is Harris Interactive. This is Zogby. These are the people that are looking at the data, that are studying the brands, that are studying the information, that are able to predict the trends, and they're doing all the research. So it's not just kind of, hey, we're pulling it out, but the business of story is so important in the marketplace now, where people are not just, you know, that's why a lot of these brands are in trouble. If you look at millennials and you connect it to Hollister and Abercrombie & Fitch, and some of these brands that used to be really, really popular, they're in trouble now because the millennials are not showing up to buy. But they are attracting themselves to more niche brands, more badge brands, brands with a story, the Toms of the world. You know, think about all the brands that have gotten on that train where, you know, buy one, give one, where there's some community aspects, where there's a greater good piece behind it. People love story. They want good products, of course. And the good news for our industry is there's nobody on this call right now, nobody on this webinar, no attendee right now who's selling, especially if you're a new car franchise. There really is no new car franchise in America right now that doesn't make a good car. I mean, we've really come up. So I expect all of you to argue on behalf of your brands. I would expect nothing less. I would expect you to be drinking the Kool-Aid at your brand location. But the fact of the matter is we pretty much all brands, all people make good cars. So what's the story then at the dealership? What story are you telling that could connect with this audience? They don't want to be talked down to. They want to be talked at the same level. Again, this is very counterintuitive. So when we talk about the influence that they have on the marketplace, well, think about that for a second. When you're engaged and there's a millennial there, or there's a teen buyer involved in the transaction with their parents, I don't care what you tell me, the majority of dealers across the country do not engage that person properly to the level of influence that they truly have. And they're killing deals. You're losing deals if your sales professionals and the people touching your customers think that they just need to be focused on the person who's signing the retail contract. Also, got to activate the communal connection. We've got to find out, and that's going to be on the handout that I want you guys to download. There's the Millennial Code, which is the kind of summation of this, the ebook version, and then there's the Millennial Code handout that's available for you guys to download. So please download that, because it's a great question for you to start to ask. What are the communal areas? What are the community-driven items? What are the things that you can utilize to work with Jim Wine to reach that marketplace? What are the things that are local that potentially connecting with? Most of the dealerships, I talk about this on the dealer side of the business, in relation to recruiting and hiring. So the millennials that are in the workplace, what are they doing? What are they doing socially? What causes are they involved in? What is the community that they're involved in at the local level? Because there you're going to find leverage. You're going to find a path to create more opportunities to bring more millennials into the fold. And again, 3 and 4 tie together. How you can extend to new places, how you can extend to markets and areas that you haven't gotten involved with. You know, you might have been sponsoring the Susan G. Komen Foundation for the last 10 years, but there might be an opportunity to something that is driven toward millennials in your marketplace, or even events that, you know, a South by Southwest, which, of course, if you're in Texas or in Austin, you know, well, that's one thing to get involved in, but there's always some version of that in most of the major cities and towns now. So it's just another area for you to get consideration. But you want to target those influencers. You know, I like this graphic. You know, Granddad, in your day, what did you do when the server was not responding? He didn't do anything because there was no server, of course. But reaching Gen Y, target the influencers. Who are the people? Who are the people out there that, you know, are the influencers in the local areas? A good friend of mine, he's now involved in this whole EDM thing, you know, the electronic dance music, the Calvin Harris's of the world and the Avicii's and these guys. And it's amazing. So he's throwing all these teen parties. And it's just amazing how I've watched how this has grown. And he's probably, I'm throwing his age out there, I'm going to put him at 40. He's not on the call, so I don't have to worry about it. But I'm going to say he's probably 40, 42. And he is, to build that business, he knew that he couldn't speak tween. So he found some 22-year-old, 21-year-old guys that were really slick in promotion, really slick on Facebook, partnered with them. And now what used to be these 100-person teen parties, he just messaged me the other day, they're doing a 3 or 4 day event in New Jersey at like the PNC Center with, you know, Lil Wayne and Tyga and some people I've never even heard of, and Happy Baby, and all. I don't know, there's a lot of crazy people with these names I've never heard of, but they're real popular in the marketplace. But he found the influencers. So my point there was, he went out and said, hey, he found these guys that were out there doing small parties, put his resources, his business know-how behind it, teamed up, found the influencer, and now is able to build this business. So who are some of the influencers potentially in the area that are running events that are millennial-driven that you can get involved with? And that goes into, you know, getting in that inner circle. Are there people at the dealership that you can leverage? What are they doing? What are they into? What are they doing after hours that you can leverage? Some of these things you can't leverage. But, and then you can connect those dots and work to build. This takes work. So now you start to work to build a street team and get out in the community, specifically targeting that group. What causes? We talked about this a little earlier. What causes can you tie in with that are connecting with millennials in the marketplace? And, of course, mobile and text marketing. Got to be compliant. We were just talking to a dealer the other day. He's like, oh, Corey, I want every lead that comes in. I want my guys text messaging. And I said, text messaging from where? So, well, they just text message from their phone. Say, well, yeah, obviously you haven't read any of the laws about text compliance and opt-in and opt-out. So while everybody's quick to do their mobile and text messaging strategy, of course, make sure you're working with compliant vendors and vendors that will protect you. You certainly want to end up on one of these driving sales emails that go out about, you know, fines and dealers and million-dollar fines and that kind of stuff. So, you know, educate the team, educate the people in the store, for those of you on this call, to make sure you've got a compliant mobile and texting strategy in there. And again, you have to keep up with the trends. You have to know what's going on. All too often I meet dealers, I meet people, oh, Corey, I'm not on that Facebook, and really I don't have time to tweet, and that's not really for me. So you better make sure you've got people on your team that are up on it, because this thing changes so much. I was doing a conference a few weeks ago where we were talking about, social media, and half the things that I named, nobody had ever heard of in the room. It was the first time. When I started talking about Blab and Meerkat and even Periscope and, some of these things that are out there, Medium, all these different ones, Anchor, Snapchat, that was the first time they were hearing any of this information. So we got to keep up with the trends and keep up with where everyone is so you can stay on top of that and stay connected. Or else you're going to get eaten alive. The technology is changing. Eliana, you talked about that in the beginning. The technology is changing so fast, and it's affecting everything. There's smart people out there that are predicting what behavior is, and they're studying behavior, and they're creating leverage in the marketplace from it. And I don't want you to be behind on that. So, and it's tough. We're paying attention. There's someone in my office that's paying attention to that. We're trying to be everywhere. Nobody's perfect. We're trying to get content out as much as we can, as soon as we can, everywhere that we can. So it definitely takes work, but those who hate change will hate irrelevance a lot less. I always quote a retired military general who said that. So getting your share, move fast, do it now. What could you be doing? Use the brief handout to talk about and create some brainstorms. Don't wait for the other guys. I talk about this in a lot of my live presentations. So many of us have what I call the itis in the auto industry. And, when we think about itis, it's like bursitis or bronchitis. It's bad, right? It's sickness. We have this itis, and this itis is who else itis is what we have.
So did you just often, come up with that? Do we need to trademark that?
Yeah. Well, who else itis is definitely my thing.
Is this anything to do with fear of missing out, FOMO?
Well, yeah, no, I don't. FOMO, I don't know that one. I like mine though.
Okay.
So, the funny thing is, FOMO would be great if we lived by FOMO. That would be great because more dealers and people would take action. We've got who else-itis. And who else-itis works like this. They'll see something that's exciting, that could change the business, that could create a competitive advantage, but they're not familiar with it. And the first word out their mouth is, well, who else is doing it? And if they don't like the answers, if you can't say, oh, some big dealer group, some big name or somebody, then they don't want to do it. Or they're nervous about doing it versus getting out in front. And being the people that that we talk about as the trendsetters, as the trailblazers, the new buzzword is disruptor in the marketplace. So don't be afraid to do that. Don't wait for the other guys. If you've got millennials in the household, please talk to your kids. Talk to your kids. They'll tell you. Not to like to quote Kanye West that often, but when he stood up to give one of his rants that he gave at some point in time, he said, listen to the kids. Listen to the kids because they're going to tell you they're the tastemakers. So they're going to tell you what's happening. Believe me, these manufacturers are listening to them. That's why I can get a Wi-Fi HubSpot in a $12,000 or $13,000 Dodge Dart right now, because they're listening to what people, what people want in the marketplace, and they're listening to the younger generation. Focus on the experience, not the road to the sale. Focus on the experience. What is the experience that you're delivering? Now, I'm an advocate for re-examining the whole experience in your store and the customer experience as a whole, but we're talking about millennials in particular, so definitely have to look at that, not just how you can walk somebody down the path to, step one, step two, meet and greet, ride, ride, demo, close, trial, close, not walk them just through the road to the sale. What's the experience that they were having every step of the way, and how can you enhance that? I thank you, Eliana, for plugging the show earlier. On tomorrow's show, our first show is with the company that deals with the iPad experience in the store and the iPad process and never leaving the customer through that process. So it's very interesting for you guys that will check the show out. But customer experience is going to be important. My next one, we're on a webinar with one of the best website companies in the marketplace right now. So refresh the web experience. When's the last time you've looked at that? When you've done an upgrade, don't treat it like a checkbox. Oh, great, we got a website. It's up. I've been spun up for a while. As Eliana, you'll attest, the trends are changing. Everybody's paying attention. We're heat mapping. We're confetti mapping. We're looking at where our customers are going, what they're clicking on, what's your content strategy. So, you know, hopefully you all have dealer on sites, but look at how you can refresh. What more can you be doing? Is it time to upgrade? Don't wait for the manufacturer. And, you know, I say this, we do a lot of business with manufacturers, so this isn't a put down. But again, they're collecting information and data just like you are. So they're trying to figure it out and trying to bring resources to bear to help their brand and by way of that help your dealer. The intent is generally always good, but don't wait for them. I have so many people that will say, oh, well, the manufacturer's handling this, or, you know, we're waiting on this, or we're waiting on some information. I'm not talking about being out of compliance. I'm talking about the idea of taking some action and not just waiting for the program to come at the corporate level. Look at ways on how you can speed up the delivery process. This is going to be important across departments. That wait, that time kill, that time crunch to move through the process of purchase is going to kill you on your reviews and reputation, and bring in those millennials. Avoid fine print marketing and anything that could be perceived as manipulation. So the push, pull, or tow, $5,000 guaranteed for your trade, isn't going to be the deal. It might work for you in your market with your, maybe your general marketplace or a segment of your group, but that's not going to be the winning promo. The $199, the this, the that, it's not going to be the moving needle for you with this particular group. Understand but don't assume community. So it's not like you're one of them, hey, I'm cool too. It's understand and access. Don't market to attract, market to resonate. Don't market to attract, market to resonate. Resonate familiarity, resonate connection, and they will come to you as a byproduct of that. And one of the funniest things, and it just popped in my head, that I'll share with you, and then Eliana, I'll turn it over to you, is one of the funniest things that popped in my head is I watched this show on Showtime called Shameless.
I shamelessly
watch it, because it's very raucous. But I watched a show called Shameless, and in their last season, funny enough, one of the guys, one of the main characters in the show, he and his wife run a bar, and you know the bar would just have regulars in it, and it would, you know, just be a few people, and they were struggling to get by, just, you know, every day with a few people in the bar. And all of a sudden, the market changed, and millennials and gentrification, all these things started changing their area. So millennials started wondering, and the waitress was very, very rude and nasty. And the millennials loved it.
But
so
she
all
was
of a
the
sudden,
one that had all the good ideas, like the
cat that's right.
machine
that's
and
right.
hookah.
That's right.
Right.
That's right. So they changed from just pouring whiskey and bourbon to putting in hookah and cappuccinos, like Eliana was saying, and she did all that stuff. And then they just took the prices of the drinks and, like, tripled them. And they loved it. The place was packed with millennials, packed with all the young people in the community. And then what killed them was the news cameras came out and voted them the best bar. And the moment they became hot in the public, the millennials ran the other way. It was just a quick illustration to pay attention to the market, look at how you can leverage that. You got to follow the trends and look at how you can create leverage and not be afraid to go first or wait for the other guys. Eliana?
You are awesome, Corey. All right, let's get to that next slide.
I'm sorry.
Oh, yes,
yep.
You have your action items. It's very important.
Yes, I do. Action items, because Eliana told me everybody's always excited about that. So action items. Review the ebook version of this presentation. I like to keep it simple. So download, we've just gone to the meat of it in the download, so make sure you download it. Review the ebook version of the presentation. And there's a little short handout, couple key areas, talks about educating the sales staff, especially on that influence factor of the millennials in the marketplace, and also gives you the opportunity just to brainstorm a little bit some areas where you can create a marketing strategy within the millennial markets for causes and things that are in the area. And also, meet with the stakeholders. Like I said, there's probably not a ton of, you know, dealer principals, vice presidents, COOs on the call here. So for a lot of you, you're working every day on the front lines or managing your team that's working with customers. So it may be a good opportunity to post this webinar, meet with the stakeholders to review what their current strategy is. What are we doing to attract millennials? I just talked about how big leasing is. Have you created a strategy for that or to try to attract them in that way, maybe using some of the financial numbers from the study as an attraction point? So meet with those stakeholders to review that strategy. And, of course, implementation, action, action, action. And then don't be afraid to monitor. Don't be afraid to – I have something called R3. Don't be afraid to reevaluate, readjust, and regroup. Test, change, monitor, test, change, monitor. It's a mouthful to say that over and over again. So that's my two cents. We have any
that's
the way I see it, yes.
Great presentation. I'm not the only one who thinks so. Diane wrote in, job, very well done, great content. And Michael wrote in, great presentation, Corey. Thank you so much. Guess what? Now it's time for questions from the audience. Audience, if you haven't gotten in your questions yet, we can't wait any longer. You got to send your questions in. Surprisingly, I think, Corey, you were so thorough, we don't have a lot of questions for you today. So maybe that'll change. Maybe some people will come up with some great questions because we want to help you sell more, crack the millennial code and sell more cars to them, right? So that's right. So get those questions in. We're going to get to them after we give away some prizes. I'm very excited about this prize. And two people already commented that it was a great prize pack. So it's that time. If you missed it at the beginning of the webinar, well, I announced that our good friends over at Mosley Automotive are giving away an awesome prize today on the webinar. Not one, but two of you lucky webinar attendees are going to win a Mosley Automotive prize pack. It includes a cool coffee mug, a styling t-shirt, and a copy of Corey Mosley's latest book, The Way I See It. This sweet, sweet prize could be yours, but you got to answer the question first. So get ready, get to your keyboards. First person to write in the
comments
to your giveaway questions will be winning this sweet prize. Let me see that. Keep calm, I'm a closer. I totally want that shirt. Does it come in a small?
It's real. It's real. We'll get it for you.
And the book. I love it.
We've got live prizes. Listen, you got to get whatever shirt we have in stock. It's like, I don't know.
The coffee mug is really pretty. I love the red inside the coffee
Thank
mug.
You.
That's styling.
Thank you.
Okay, so what we need you to do, audience, first person to write in the correct response to the giveaway question is going to win a prize pack. So when you win, you got to write back in and let me know the name of your dealership and your mailing address so we can get that prize out to you as quickly as we can. All right, everyone, good luck. These questions are not easy. Okay.
I'm giving away a lot of stuff.
All right, good luck, everyone.
I need people who listen.
There we go. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, by the way, it's the Bureau of Labor Statistics, what is the number of jobs the average millennial will have had by the age 38? According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, what's the number of jobs the average millennial will have had by the age 38? Well, lots of people have answered. Let me scroll up and see. Oh, somebody wrote 123. No, that's not right.
definitely have to watch the replay.
Diane Anderson is the winner.
That's my girl.
The correct answer, she was actually the very first person who wrote in. The correct answer is, of course, what did we say, 12 to 13?
Yes.
Yes, we did. Diane, congrats.
I love this and stuff about her. She's already bought the book, so I'll get her an extra copy because we love
it. Maybe
Diane.
You should sign it. Wow.
Of course I will. I'll get it.
By the way, she just wrote in, The Way I See It, one awesome book. And if you can imagine, lots of capitals and lots of exclamation marks.
Thank you.
Okay. So, that. Diane, lucky you. You got another one. Diane, send in a message with your dealership name so I can give you a proper congratulations, as well as your mailing address. You're getting another one. You know what? Maybe you could hold a spiff at your dealership and whoever – you know, sells the most cars in a certain month or whatever, you can give them a copy of the book too or something. I don't know. I'm just spitballing here. All right? All right.
I'm saying frame it.
Frame it, baby. All right, Diane, congratulations. You can sit this one out. Oh, Diane is with Dellen Automotive Family, and that's in Greenfield, Indiana. So congratulations, Diane. We have another one of these prize packs to give away. So everyone, get on your toes. Get those fingers nice and limbered up, okay? This one, also, not an easy question. Hope you were paying attention. Good luck, everyone. According to Edmunds.com and More Pace, Inc. study, what was the maximum car payment amount that the majority of millennials responding to the survey said they would pay per month? Oh, my gosh, I cannot believe you people. I mean, I thought that went by so fast, and everyone got it right. You've got to be kidding me.
You got it right first.
Jim Sullivan.
Right.
I got to say, that's not a name I recall on my show. So, Jim, congratulations. I like it. Congratulations, Jim Sullivan. You are today's second winner of a Mosley Automotive Pride Pack. You are going to be getting it through the mail, so you got to give me your mailing address so I can make this official for you, okay? And let me know where you're from. Jim's going to do it any second now. Now, look, for all of you who didn't win today, I know. It's disappointing and there's tears. I know. But you know what? We give away cool prizes every week on the Dealer On webinars. So come on back for another Dealer On webinar, and who knows? It could be your lucky day to win a cool prize on Dealer On webinar. And, Corey, where'd you go? You can turn on your webcam.
I'll be back.
You'll be back? All right.
I'll be back.
I don't know what dealership Jim is with, but he is in Coconut Creek, Florida. Congratulations, Jim.
Oh, I might come personally. I might come personally to deliver that.
Really? Because somebody else commented he was surprised that it didn't have, you know, Pecan Jacks in there. So.
Oh, that's somebody, that's clearly a follower that comes by, that knows about Pecan Jacks.
All right, let's see. We're going to scroll up here. Thank you, everyone, for playing along. Of course, we got to congratulate Diane Anderson and Jim Sullivan on their cool win today. And thank everyone, of course, for playing along. Of course, we got to thank our good friends over at Mosley Automotive and Corey Mosley himself for giving out such a cool prize. So thank you for that. Okay, let's get to some questions. Audience, I need you to send me in some questions. Here we go. This first question, Corey, comes to you from Michael. And he says, and he wants you to put your predicting hat on. Do you predict that the majority of millennials will develop loyalty to a high degree as Generation X and baby boomers to products and services, in particular cars, trucks, SUVs, and EVs? And he goes on to say, as we've heard, Toyota is aligning with Lyft and or Uber.
Right, GM.
Right. Yeah. So what do you think Toyota is hoping for with regards to millennials? So this is a very long question. So do you think millennials have staying power with one brand, I think is what he's getting at?
So I think the key is going to be, and here's, and again, I look at the research. I look at, like I said, I still live in that within a year or two cusp of millennial thinking based on the demo. But what I believe is still going back to who and what they connect with. So the influence factor there is really going to be more so of who and what they connect with. So if you deliver them a car, if you sell a millennial car today, and all they get is some form-written birthday letter once a year from your CRM and some form email in 60 days to say, hey, how are you doing, or once a year you make a phone call, and it comes time when they're in a lease retention cycle, are they going to be loyal to your dealership? Are they going to be loyal to the brand? Not necessarily. So what are you going to be doing to keep the connection going? Again, that's why I go back to the causes. I go back to the community aspects of it, because how can you stay connected over that period of time where they're going to build that relationship? What's your relationship building strategy with them? Not just the touch points. And that's where I think the difference is going to become. So will they stay with you? I want them to stay with me first, wherever I am second, because I might not be at Toyota, let's say, in 3 years. I might be at Mercedes. I might be at Hyundai. I want them to stay with you. I want them to stay with the dealership, and then obviously the brand. And that's ultimately how they'll connect those dots. So just because they get in, will they start in a Corolla and then progress to a Camry or go to a Prius or go to a Highlander as their family needs concern? Not necessarily. They're going to go, at least what the data is telling us, they're going to connect with where they connect, where there's a story, where there's a message, where there's something that resonates with them as a brand, as an individual, or as a dealership that is kind of speaking their language. And then the second question, what was it, Eliana, about rideshare or the brands or something?
Yeah, he wanted to know, he said he's heard Toyota is going to be aligning themselves with Lyft and or Uber. What do you think Toyota is hoping for?
So a couple things. I mean, obviously GM's the one that made the $500 million investment in Lyft. Toyota's doing a lot with Uber, actually. A lot of it right now is more on the penetration side for getting their vehicles in the marketplace. So that's what I talked about, rideshare. And you got to be aware of this overall in your strategy as the dealership is planning to figure out how they're going to grow sales in the years to come as they're under the pressure to do. Because, you know, Toyota is a great example. They're you know, they're getting in concert with Uber on pipeline to get cars to Uber drivers. They've even got a financing model now where you can drive and accrue your Toyota Financial Services payment. So they're doing a lot in that rideshare area. Where I think you're going to see where you're going to see them go, and I can't speak too much about he actually picked a brand that we have some involvement with, but without giving away too much of the secret sauce, without giving away too much secret sauce, what you're going to see is a shift to customer experience that was designed based on the needs of millennials and people who favor more online transactions or digital transactions. So the millennials are the driver of it, their feedback and where they're going, but it will, of course, affect everyone in the buying process. So you're going to see a lot more with electronic delivery, digital kind of starting the process and just taking delivery in the dealership. You're going to see a lot more with customer experience, iPad, that kind of stuff, and user interface and user experience in the years to come.
I mean,
coming now.
And it's funny because I think it wasn't too long ago that eBay celebrated the fact that they had sold over 1 million cars through eBay Automotive. And I'm wondering, do you think we're ever going to get to the point where somebody can buy a car through the Internet? Would we want that?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a couple things, and listen, I've been wrong before, so that's why I'm not a futurist. I work on strategy, but I never proclaim to be a futurist, but by title. But I believe, I mean, certainly people would argue that 95% of transactions, I mean, you can do a lot of work now. You've got a lot of pass through from companies like CDK and DealerTrack that are in that space. You know, already connecting the journey all the way through to the end right now. So what are some of the nuances? You know, will you be able to e-contract? Will you be able to do like a hello sign or a document that's legally binding just online completely?
Right.
So there's going to be certainly some nuances and some legalities to that process. So one of the companies that we're interviewing tomorrow on the show, they have, I think, approval in 11 states to actually do iPad-based contracting.
Ooh.
So there's a whole legislative process and some other things to work through to really get there, but you're going to get there. I mean, I've seen the technology for a number of years in more of a crude manner where it just hasn't reached the UI wasn't there. So it was the user interface wasn't there where it was a Apple-esque beautiful experience to go through, but the raw programming or the raw data, you know, to put your information in here and connect the dots and do the programming and all that stuff was there. So it's happening. I mean, you got some guys now that are delivering cars through kiosks. There's no salesman at all. I got a buddy who works for one of these companies. I don't really want to even promote it because I think it takes away from, you know, this is how I make my living. This is how the people on here make their living, by working with dealers and working in dealerships and trying to serve the community. So I'm certainly a lot protective because I'm from automotive retail. I'm not from the tech crunch or the tech bubble or the university. So I'm very protective about that idea. But we do have to get our stuff together as it relates to the customer experience and tying the customer experience to our ability to continue to maximize profitability and get more efficient.
All right. Just a few more questions for you, and then we'll close out the show. This next question, Corey, comes to you from Tom. And he says, do you think that these strategies for millennials are going to translate for all shoppers?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. So right now, I mean, I'm all for, I like the idea of segmentation because segmentation just allows you to target. I mean, it's no different. You know, we're probably not, you know, Mercedes is not targeting the S550 for $100,000 to college graduates. So I'm all for segmentation. But ultimately, these things, the influence factor of them as tastemakers, as I talked about, will drive what we all want to happen. So the grandfather, the parent who, you know, didn't want to give up his flip phone is going to have to get his iPhone if he wants to FaceTime with his son or daughter or their grandchildren because that's how they communicate. They're not flying. They're not coming local, you know. So if you want that experience, then that changes everybody. And then once you start programming people to what the new expectation is, you know, now I bought the new version of Apple TV. So now all the old ones in my house suck as far as I'm concerned. Because I want to talk to the remote. You know, like when you have to enter in, you know, like on the TV where you have to enter in like your Wi-Fi code. It's so long, you know, you got to move your thumb to go here and to go there. And my wife last night was just like, just speak the code, you know, just speak. So I just spoke what our password is and boom, it was done. So now I'm ruined on any other room that I go in that doesn't have a new one. So technology changes us, user interfaces change us, user experience change us, and that's the people that keep up with that or get involved. If you're a decision maker on here, you got to hire smart people. Steve Jobs said it best. You can't hire smart people and then tell them what to do. So you got to surround yourself with the smart people inside your organization and keep up with the trends and keep up with what's going on and then take actions to go there.
Agreed. Okay. A comment came in from Philippe. By the way, thank you, Tom, for the great question. Philippe yes, wrote in, I use itis all the time. to Corey, not your thing. Haha, mostly after when I eat, though, and I get lazy. Okay, Philippe, thank you so much for the comment.
I know what Philippe is talking about.
Okay, next question comes to you from Jacob. He says, great question. He says, where can we find the best source of information regarding text and SMS compliance laws?
I mean, obviously, you can certainly dig through the federal. the Federal Trade Commission, the
right.
FTC, they have a lot of that information on their website to really get the technicality of the law. Number two, certainly, I would, you know, connect with your dealer and have him, you know, they should be able to get drafts of that information from their attorneys and get them to break that down to what's important. And then the third thing is a lot of the vendors, CRM companies, I know in particular one pops into my head, that, you know, has a full compliant opt-in program. I believe most of them have some form of it, but I know one for sure has, you know, a full opt-in, opt-out, compliant,
right.
Go through the CRM, no he said, she said kind of stuff already built in. So, you know, as you're working with your vendors, find out who has, you know, those type of compliances already there.
Now, he has a follow-up question. Jacob just wrote back in. He says, follow-up question, should it be the responsibility of the CRM company to make sure we are compliant?
Well, no. I mean, there's nothing in their agreement. Well, the answer to that question really doesn't matter what the answer is because there's nothing in
it. I mean, even if they say that, you know, they're going to take care of that for you, wouldn't you want to just check up on them just to make sure they're doing it right? You're
the
one who's liable.
Right. It's a chain of liability. So in a litigious world, if you were on their program that was supposed to be compliant by terms of what they were doing, and a customer for some reason went to the Attorney General, because the customer wouldn't generally come after you, some other agency would, but the Attorney General came after the dealership, then of course the chain of command would be, hey, we were participating in a compliant program, and then you would go after the vendor, which is what happened a few years ago with a big marketing company and a large dealer group. There was a big story everywhere about that. It was a $2 million fine, and they thought they were covered, but they weren't. So, yeah, you definitely want to explore the language to make sure that they are positioning you to be compliant, especially if they are producing claims that say they are compliant. So right. I would have that expectation. So, and for the most part, that's really about opt-in, opt-out management and having that kind of documented process to give the customer the opportunity to opt-in. That's where really it gets tricky is, you know, salespeople will whip out their cell phone, you know, get a customer's contact number, and then just start texting them. And that's not really the legality of it. So
right.
Definitely want to get educated on that.
I absolutely agree with that.
And I'm not an attorney, so
no,
but
take every precaution because
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, Jacob, great questions. Thank you so much. All right, last question comes to you from a millennial. What? Allison. Allison says,
hello.
I'm a 23-year-old millennial. Hi, Allison. All right, and the age range for millennials seems very broad. What would be the core age group you are targeting specifically for selling cars to when discussing millennials?
I mean, again, it's...
I'm not a millennial. Are you a millennial?
Yeah, well, I'm still in the I mean, I'm supported, but I'm 80. So going by the data we have, I mean, 80, I'm talking about birth year. So
right.
so there's arguments that...
I'm older than you.
I get it. There's arguments that 81, 82 is the cutoff for Gen X.
Mm-hmm.
Is it 80? Is it so? There's some debate in the marketplace as to within a few years, plus or minus. It's kind of like a Pew poll, you know, when they say 58% of people say with a 3 or 4% margin of error. So there's some argument in the core, but from a core level, from a millennial standpoint, again, in auto, I want to talk about buyers. Of course, so I want to talk about the ability to contractually obligate. So 18 obviously is a marketplace item for that. And then really that scale, most people when they think millennials, they're focusing on that 18
right.
up into the 30 range. So while I can technically hang on to this idea that I'm in the millennial category, from that earlier thing, I didn't understand any of that texting that was taking place. So,
and the funny thing is I understood it perfectly.
Oh, did you? Okay, perfect. I mean, I don't have kids either, so I don't. Maybe if I had some teenagers or some tweens, I'd be able to do it. But generally, you know, that buyer cusp point where you can actually contract, which is 18, and then most people will identify as they trend upward into 30. So it's really that 18. You're 23, 25, 26 is where we start to think about that process in the job market,
right.
Out of school, in school, that kind of thing. Although I know 35-year-olds that are still going to school have never taken on real.
Hey, nothing
real
wrong career. With that. Nothing wrong with that. Education is good. Corey Mosley, I'm going to have to thank you right now. That was an awesome presentation. Thank you so much. I love, love, love when you come to my show. It's always a good day when you're here, sir.
I appreciate it.
Much appreciated. Now, audience, you still have a couple more minutes before the end of the show to download those handouts. So make sure you get your copies of those handouts. There's two in there. They're both equally wonderful, so make sure you get those, okay? And I want to also remind you, audience, I'm recording this, so you're going to be able to download a copy of this webinar presentation a little bit later on today. Within 24 hours, you can go to dealeron.com/webinar, view our upcoming webinar schedule, or access any of our past webinars, too. And, yeah, we're going to send you a link to this recording in just a couple hours, so be on the lookout for that. And when this webinar concludes in just a moment, you're going to get a very short survey. It is 6 questions. Please fill out the survey. We want your opinion to be heard. We want to know what you thought of today's presentation. All right? So please say good things. Give him good numbers. All right? But we want your honest opinions. So please fill out that survey. We'd really love to see what you have to say. Okay? And, oh, I got big news. Corey, we got to go to that next slide. Okay, the next slide. That's right.
Well, you can tell them to watch my show again.
Corey Mosley's new weekly show is going to be on the CBT Automotive Network, and it premieres online tomorrow, June 10th. You're hearing about it here, okay? The show is called Progressive Retail with Corey Mosley, and you're not going to want to miss it. So make sure you can tune in. You can catch all the awesomeness on cbtnews.com/CBT show. Check it out, all right? And if you want to see and hear more from Corey Mosley, well, you can check out his live HD webcast. It's going to be Friday, June 17th, about personality-based selling strategies, where he discusses how to sell beyond your comfort zone. To find out more, you can go to coreymosley.com. And by the way, I'm going to be emceeing the upcoming Women in Automotive Conference. This unique event is June 26th through the 28th in Orlando, Florida. And it's not just for women, but if you work beside women, do you sell cars to women? If you have anything to do with women and automotive, then this is the conference for you, okay?
All right. You know any.
I mean, that's all it really boils down to. If you want to make your way to Orlando in a couple of weeks, well, I'd love to see you there. To find out more about Women in Automotive Conference, please visit womeninautomotive.com, or you can check out hashtag WomenInAuto16. Oh, boy, I really hope I get to see you there. And invitations will be going out tomorrow for our next Dealer On webinar, How to Ignite Your Website Traffic and Set Your Sales on Fire. Today's consumers spend an average of 17 hours online visiting dozens of websites to research different makes and models for their next vehicle purchase. And with so much info at their fingertips, it's no wonder that the information age has become the indecision age. Car buyers are getting confused and dealers are feeling the burn. And let's face it, if consumers aren't on your website, they won't be visiting your dealership and they certainly won't be buying cars from you. So do you want to ignite your website traffic and set your internet sales on fire? Well, first-time Dealer On webinar presenter Scott Peckstein, is going to show you how to break through the internet clutter and get consumers off of multiple websites and firmly onto yours. Attendees of this information-packed one-hour webinar will learn how to drive more traffic to your dealership website, better engage online consumers, and successfully boost dealership visits to ultimately increase your sales. Without the right processes in place, your dealership may go down in flames and your competitors will win by default. So, Scott will also discuss the hottest online engagement and sales techniques with an emphasis on driving website traffic and conversions. Let's light this up. If you're ready to learn about the ways to ignite your website traffic and set your sales on fire, then this is the sizzling presentation you can't afford to miss. Register now and don't forget Dealer On's weekly webinars are held Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern, 11 a.m. Central, 10 a.m. Mountain, and 9 a.m. Pacific. We have some awesome webinar subjects planned for 2016, but if you have questions, comments, or suggestions regarding these webinars and our topics, hey, contact me directly. Again, my name is Eliana Raggio. I would love to hear from you. And I'm everywhere. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, Google+, you name it. I'm on all the automotive social networks. You can track me down online or email me directly at eliana@dealeron.com. Thank you all so very much for spending this time with us today. And I hope to see you all on another webinar in our continuing education series. Take care.